You've got to master leading yourself. So that's about self-discipline. That's about experience. That's about controlling your feelings. So you've got to lead yourself.
From Wise Mentoring is the Wise Guys podcast, a show about accounting and bookkeeping practice owners and the many stories, lessons, and tips from their experience of transitioning from a time poor practice to a business that runs without them. I hope you enjoy and subscribe.
Discussing a very interesting and hot topic about getting referrals every day. Okay, so talking about developing a system for getting endless quality referrals. And here to introduce the topic to us is our wise guy, Ed. So Ed, having a referral program in place really increases the chances of getting quality referrals and keeping the business of these clients. So where do we start in implementing a referral process so that there's a steady stream of referrals in the pipeline?
Yeah, thanks, Thomas, and thanks for introducing the topic. Obviously, when someone refers you a client, they're obviously very happy with your service for them to refer you to another client. And you know, out of the four ways to increase your business, that is the cheapest way to do it and the best way to do it, because not only are your clients happy, but they're now going out there and talking to their friends about your business. Mm. So obviously, that's the first one that you want to work on. The other three are monetization sheet, which is you're selling more services to your existing clients. The third one is your digital marketing. And the last one is an acquisition, you go buy a firm. But we're not going to talk about those three. We're just going to talk about today. It's just about referrals, because we should be attacking the low hanging fruit. And the lowest hanging fruit is your referral system. It all starts with your service and your responsiveness to your clients. If you could just put yourself in the other person, in the client's shoes, if you're dealing with two businesses and one business responds to you very, very quickly, and the other business doesn't respond to you, and they're competitors, and you're looking at utilizing their services, you're going to go with the firm that responds to you very, very quickly, and the firm that builds a relationship with you and the firm that cares about you. And because the message they're giving to you is that they care about you because they're responding to you. The firm that doesn't respond to you, the body language they're giving you is that, you know, you're very low on their priority list. They've got other things to do. They're busy. Don't bother me. That's the body language the firm who doesn't respond to you or responds very slowly is giving you. They've just got, you're very low on their priority list. They've got other things to do. They don't really care. So the first thing is you've got to get your staff responding very, very quickly. Okay. Now, we at Chan and Nail have a same day response. So if you can't respond the same day because you're in a meeting, then the latest the next morning. If you can't respond the next morning, you've got to get someone to ring the client up and let them know that you won't be able to get back to them for a couple of days, right? So as long as you're connecting with the client, that's the first thing you need to do. And everybody needs to be on the same page with that. In fact, if you came to work for Chan and Nail, it's a letter called a chairman's welcome. In that, it says if you don't respond on the same day, then it's a sackable offence. So that, you know, we get them to sign that so that everybody knows what's expected, because we are in the service industry, and if you want to grow, that's what it's about. You've got to respond so that you show to your clients that you care, that your whole organization cares. Okay, so that's the first thing. The next thing then is your communication. So you don't send, we at Chan and Nail, we send, Thomas, if I want you to respond to me, I send the email to you, and I might CC Tim on it, but I don't expect Tim to respond because he's being CC'd on it, but I do expect you to respond. And part of our culture is, you know, if you receive an email, you must respond. Otherwise, it's a sackable offence. And if you get everybody on the same page, the whole team working in the same way, then you won't get these situations where a client sends the email to four or five people. And the reason why they send it to four or five people is because no one's responding to them and they're hoping someone will respond. But the problem with doing that is it drags your four people into the same conversation. And then either four people respond to it and it wastes four people's time, or nobody responds because everybody's waiting for the other person to respond. So you've got to come up with a policy that says the person who receives the email must respond. Otherwise, your clients will drag you into their nightmare. So they'll drag four people into the same conversation. And if you multiply that across the board, that's just a lot of wasted information, a lot of chaos that's created, a lot of confusion. So make sure the team's all on the same wavelength, that they're all responding. Okay, now, the third thing, of course, is that when you finish a job for a client, you never, never, never just send it out for signature. And I see that happen so often. And it's because we're all focused on productivity and we're all focused on the short term. You know, getting our lodgements done, getting onto the next job. The team's under pressure. We've got to get the work out. We've got to get the WIP down. We've got to get the debtors, the invoices out. We've got to worry about cash flow. It's all stuff that's focused within. And not once is that focus on the client. And if you don't focus on the client, you're not going to get referrals from them. So in order to do that, we always have a client approval meeting before it's finished. So if it's businesses, we have a client approval meeting. That client approval meeting can be by phone or it can be by Zoom. It can be by face-to-face. And we take them through the journey of the tax planning. So if it's a larger client, then obviously it's a tax planning meeting and we get their approval to finish off in the way that we've discussed. If it's a smaller client, we just ring them up like an iReturn or a rental property. We ring them up with the results to let them know what the result was, not just to send it out in the mail. That's the other thing that you need to do if you want to increase your referrals. That extra bit of time that you spend with them, it might only be 15 minutes. You might have spent 5 hours doing the work, but you spend 15 minutes with them and that 15 minutes has more value to them than the 5 hours that you spent doing the work, right? And yet most firms focus on the 5 hours, getting the work done, getting it perfect, right? Sure, it's the best. The work is done absolute quality and it's the best job in the whole world. And yet they don't talk to their clients. And it's that 15 minutes of a conversation to the client. They'll give you all your referrals, but we're just focused on getting the job done, getting onto the next job, and we don't get referrals. The other one is the senior client managers. Often, you probably know by now, we set up teams as a senior client manager, senior production manager. Senior client manager's role is to talk to the clients and to have the bridge between the production team and the client. So they're communicating at the client's level. They've got to have interpersonal skills and so forth. But if the senior client manager is busy sitting there grinding, then they're not going to have the time to speak to the clients. And often when a client manager says to me, oh, I don't have time, it's because either they like doing the work, so they sit there doing the work, or B, they don't know what their job description is, and they don't know their job is to, you know, have these tax planning sessions with the clients, have the client approval meetings, and that's their job. And they sit there doing the work, or they enjoy doing the work, so they sit there doing the work. They're an overpaid employee if they're holding that role and getting and just sitting there doing the work. And or the staff below them needs a lot more training. The capacity below them is not sufficient to do the work. So it all bubbles up to the top, ends up on the client manager's desk. So you got to look at your team, make sure that you use a capacity planner on the Wise Hub to work out the capacity for each team, make sure that the resource mix within that team is appropriate because you've got to have a combination of a junior person that can do the lower level work at the lower charge out rate to a more experienced person to finish off the work and then to the senior production manager who checks and reviews the work and then hands the work to the client, to the senior client manager to go see the clients to do the stuff that I'm talking about. So make sure the team structure is right. Of course, make sure you've got a newsletter going out to the clients and the minimum is once a month because the research shows that if you're no longer in front of your clients after a month, it's whoever is around that they'll look at. So if someone sends them a newsletter or they've clicked onto somebody else's newsletter, then they'll start gravitating over there. They'll start forgetting who you are. About a month is longest that you need to go without touching base with your clients. Now, if you're working with your clients every month, then that's okay. But often we don't see our clients for quite a few months, if not, you know, once a year. So we need to keep in touch with the clients to make sure that we're at the forefront of their mind because your clients and my clients are constantly being hunted by our competitors. So someone's touching base with them constantly. So we need to be doing that as well in order to keep us at the forefront of their mind. And then lastly, of course, I might be jumping the gun here, but I'll leave that to how we measure things later on because it's very important that you measure all this because the further you are away from the pulse of the organization, like me, I haven't worked in the practice now for 20 odd years. And I know with the reporting that comes back to me that the five most important things, including how happy the clients are, it's being measured. And I know whether they're happy or not, they're not happy. So that's very important as well.
Great. In our firm as well, I noticed the marked difference when you had recommended the client approval meeting into our firm. And it's very different, you know, to be able to get the client involved in the process. And it showed me how Wise approaches referrals. It's not that we're advocating, say, give your client $1,000 if they refer a client, but it's stemming from that customer service and developing a process where they're getting involved. And actually, Tim, as well, you've been in the midst of continuously improving your systems and you've also implemented so much of the Wise methodology. How have you seen the effects of implementing the referral philosophy into your firm?
I know who our referrers are now. We've been tracking client net promoter scores this financial year. Sometimes it's clients that you would imagine were the 9s and 10s, and sometimes it's surprising who the 9s and 10s are. We know now who to go after for those referrals, and that's something we didn't really know before. And we send them out once a year year once the main compliance work's done. But a client could be a 9 or a 10 one year and a 7 or a 6 the next year, depending on what happens to them. And Ed talks a lot about the emotional bank account, and that goes up and down as well. And so it's just really important to be targeted. You don't want to ask 100% of your clients for referrals. You want to ask the ones who are quite happy with your services. And I'd be looking at A's and B's for referrals. If I've got like a D grade client that we're looking at moving on, I wouldn't be coming after them for referrals. So everything about Ed's philosophy with Wise is targeting the appropriate areas.
Thanks for tuning in. If you liked this episode, please remember to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review. For more practical Wise tips on how to build a business that runs without you, head over to wisementoring.com/podcast to download a free copy of the Accountant's 20-Hour Workweek Playbook. We've included a link in the show notes below. See you on the next episode.